Plans for everyone, whether you're free hitting or not, in game week 32. An untimely injury roundup, plus Rashford replacements, as Jules predicts what Ten Hag's update means. Hello again. Thursdays feel like they come a lot quicker at the moment, don't they? The FPL pod is here for you to preview game week 31. And as always, Sam Bonfield and Julian Laron are with me, Kelly Summers. Now, Sam, a big feature of last week's pod was your wild card. I'm sure listeners are itching to know. How did it go?
Yeah, it was all right in the end, Kelly. I got 71, so nice big green arrow, which I really needed off the back of game week 29's poor result. And I do feel now like my team is set up and ready for the next few weeks, with the exception of maybe an injury that was picked up to one of my key players in game week 30. I'm sure we'll have more on him later.
I was going to say, that's a big teaser. I'm sure a lot of managers know exactly who you mean. Yes, we will be talking about Marcus Rashford and various other injuries in the pod very shortly. Jules, how was your game week?
Not great. 56 points.
You're wobbling, aren't you? The pressure from me coming up.
It's because
behind.
You've caught up, Kelly. That's what it is.
Yeah, probably. It's the end of the season, you know. So it's difficult. We mentioned Jack Grealish, and rightly so, in last week's show. I didn't bring him in simply because...
I noticed that. Why?
Because of the blank week. And I had already too many players who were not going to play. So if I had it Grealish on top of it, it would have been... So I already had to make a transfer to bring in a player who will play in the blank game week for Chelsea, Brighton, City and United. So that's why I left Grealish, and then I saw him doing really, really well and I was gutted. But that's the way the game is played.
You're such a selfless FPL player. You couldn't bring him in yourself.
I'm here for the people.
Yet last
you know
week,
me.
You, I'm here you for waxed the people. Lyrical. I had a few people tweeting. I don't know if you saw that, Jules. We had a few people tweeting us saying, thanks, Jules, for the tip. So
you're welcome.
Yeah,
you're
welcome. Grealish was a good tip last week, and an even better tip when I know that it hasn't actually directly helped Jules' team out. That's the perfect type of FPL tip. Anyway, it's time to welcome this week's guest. We've had some big names on the pod this season, and you can definitely add this man to that list. It's Hard 5 frontman Richard Archer. Welcome, Rich, to the FPL pod. Tell us how a musician, such a successful musician, becomes an FPL player then. How long has this kind of gone on for, you playing FPL?
Hello. Hello, everyone. Thanks for having me on. I've been kind of doing it for probably only a couple of seasons now. You know, it was always around. I was working with this band and all the chaps in the band were playing it. And I was kind of interested. I used to play it back in the day, you know. And then I got asked to become part of a divisional league called Sing When You're Winning, which is basically full of like presenters, musicians, actors, that kind of stuff. And I was asked by one of the Blue Tones, actually, a West London band, said, oh, you should join in. And I started doing that. I didn't have a faintest idea what I was doing. I mean, literally. So I was just sort of like trying to find my way through. So, and the thing about that Sing When You're Winning league is it's got promotion. It's not like you just tally up your points. You play against a different manager each week and you go for 3 points and then you add up your... So it's like a more traditional league. So I managed to get, I got promoted in the first year, I think just because I was one of the few people paying attention. And then I just quite enjoy it. It's quite good fun. It's a bit of banter and that kind of stuff. So I haven't managed to sort of drag in the rest of the band yet, but it won't be long. They're big football fans. So
I also took a look at your team and I noticed there is a Brentford treble up. You've already mentioned West London. Am I guessing correctly that you're a Bees fan?
Yeah. Big Brentford fan. We go down... You know, we've got a season ticket because it's been just so amazing the last few years. Although I used to go down a lot before then. Recently, they've been performing pretty well, but because I have this strange kind of, you know, I had like Raya was just delivering points every week, but I had him on the bench because I knew that as soon as I put him in the team, Brentford would start losing. So I just sat there watching him. Yeah, like, you know, tally up. And then obviously we signed this new guy, Kevin Sharder, and he came on like as a sub and was like great, and he's really quick and fast. And so I got overexcited and I put him in, and now I've got loads of injuries and I've kind of got him stuck in there and he's not starting. So it's sort of like, well, I feel like I have to, like the one time I didn't have Ivan Toney in the team, I bumped into him at Legoland.
Wow.
Yeah, like it was kind of like the gods were saying, bring Ivan back. So he's been in ever since.
Okay, well, let's quickly talk about your game week 30, because you had a tricky one, didn't you? I think it's safe to say.
Yeah, so up until about game week 29, I was doing okay. I was sort of like, you know, and most of it was built on Newcastle defence, and I had, you know, Newcastle and Arsenal players, basically, and I had Rashford in, But I've got my all my benches injured or suspended. I had Mitrovic in there and blah, blah, blah. And Saliba seems to have been injured forever. Shaw's just got injured. And obviously Newcastle, you know, we played against Brentford and it was the worst kind of result for my fantasy football team. I don't mind having a shocking game week if Brentford win, but, you know, because the Newcastle defence, we scored against them. Tony missed his first penalty ever for Brentford.
I know.
And Raya got an own goal put against him. So it was just kind of, and we lost, you know, to top all that, we lost. Yeah, it wasn't great. Ream for Fulham has been really good for me as well. But obviously, they're struggling at the moment, so it wasn't very good at all. Actually, below average. Must try harder.
Onwards and upwards. Hopefully, we can help you out over the next 30 minutes or so. You are also actually in the official FPL Music League as well. There's lots of other musicians in there. I've seen Liam Frey is in there. He's been on this podcast. Of course, he's from the Cortinas, the Horrors, Loyal Kana, Bring Me the Horizon, Yumi at Six. We've also had one of those guys on the podcast, Travis, Amy McDonald, and more. So it's clearly very popular amongst musicians. You do just need to get a few more people from your band in there, I think. And I'm also told that Hard to Beat is number one on the official FPL Spotify today as well. Did you know that?
I did know that, yeah. Actually, I'm quite surprised that it's not number one every week, to be honest with you. But that's great. That's great to see that. Yeah, I don't know why. Like, there's some, I think Sam from Get Cape, Where Cape Flies in there as well. He's a good lad. So there's some, I think it's one of those things, if you are touring, there's quite a lot of time sat around on a bus. So you can sort of sit there and it's quite nice to better rib your fellow bandmates about,
of course,
you know, if they've had a tricky week or whatever. But yeah, I don't know why the guys, because like, the guys in the band are both, you know, Steve, a drummer, he's a big Liverpool fan. Kai's a big Chelsea fan. Ross, the guitarist, bless him, you know, is supposedly a Fulham fan, but to be honest with you, he couldn't care less about football. And we used to, back in the day when we were like very, very busy, you know, we were attached to a lot of football things and he had to pretend he liked Fulham. And he didn't know anything about it at all. And he used to hate it. But the other two, they're all over it. So I don't know, you know, we should get on that and sort that out, I think.
Yeah, that's your mission. Maybe once I've heard you be on this podcast, they'll be a little bit more interested. Well, it is time for us now to look ahead to game week 31. This is a big game week because it's just one before blank game week 32. So managers do need to get their teams ready, especially if you don't have a free hit chip to get you through it. We've already heard Jules talking about it. It's a headache. A reminder, the teams that are blanking in 32 are Brighton, Man City, Man United and Chelsea. Sam, this is a crucial point in the season for managers, isn't it? Because there's going to be a big split. Those with a free hit, those without, and everyone working out how to attack it.
Yeah, and if you have got one, you're going to play it very differently to if you haven't got one. So like, this whole pod's going to be quite interesting, I think, this week and next, because obviously Jules is in a position where he doesn't have his free hit chip anymore. You and I, Kelly, both have ours still to play in game week 32. So it puts you in a position where the things that you might do this week are going to be quite different from each other, because Jules is going to be having to target players from teams that have a nice fixture in 31, but that also feature in 32. Whereas for you and I, Kelly, we're going to be able to go heavy if we want to on the teams that are blanking in 32, because it doesn't matter to us that they're not playing, because we're going to play our free hit then anyway. So I think what is going to happen over the next few weeks, and it's something that managers are going to have to be careful of, is not getting caught up in what everyone else is doing and really focusing in on what your team needs, depending upon your chip strategy.
Rich, do you have your free hit left?
No. You know, strategically, my season is generally a disaster. I mean, I generally get my best points tallies when I've been caught out by like a Friday game and I've missed the deadline to change my team. That's when I seem to get the most points, when I don't think about it. When I try and do something about it, I completely mess it up. I tinker and it all goes wrong.
You're trying to be too clever.
I'd be quite interested to see what you guys have to say, to see if I can improve my tactics.
Okay, there's the challenge to us then at this point. Okay, so we're a week away from this huge blank game week. What do we not want to happen around now? Well, injuries, of course. And on the topic of that, there is only one place to start. One of the informed players in the country, as we mentioned, Marcus Rashford. We spent the majority of last week's pod bigging him up, only for him to limp off with a groin injury. Now, Jules, Erik ten Hag has confirmed he won't be available this weekend, but he will be for the run-in. What do we take away from that? Because it's quite vague, isn't it?
It is. And I think what we take away is that it's great for Manchester United and Marcus Rashford to have a blank game week, because that means an extra weekend to rest. So I think he will be ready for game week 33, which is it's a midweek game away at Spurs, which, as we know, Kelly, is an easy fixture.
Toughest place to go in the land. Toughest place to go.
Especially if Sam is in the stand and they never win when she's there.
I'm going to be there, Jules.
Exactly. But you would think that certainly that weekend off is great news because that gives him more time to recover. I think there was quite a lot of pessimism when the injury happened. It looked bad. I think now with the treatment, all the work with the physio, he does pretty much 24/7. Work with the physio for that groin injury, you'd think that he should be okay for in 10 days time, basically. But it's tricky. So we'll have to keep you updated next week, for example. But you would think that it should be okay.
Well, Rich, I may be understanding why you've been struggling so much this season. You're one of the few teams I've looked at that doesn't have Marcus Rashford. So at least you've got one less headache for this week, I guess.
Yeah, I had him in the team up until recently and he was doing so well for me. In fact, I was captaining him. It was one of those things where there was a game week of a few weeks back where literally I could only field about four players. So I kind of chopped around a few things, took some hits of some penalty points, doing extra transfers. And that was a complete disaster. And now the team feels really unbalanced. You know, all those players that just generally deliver just didn't. Mm. And I kind of moved him out and brought Saka in, who seemed to be kind of really buzzing and hasn't sort of got back to where he was really since then. So I would look to, hopefully, you know, I would look to bring him back in, but not until he's sort of guaranteed to be starting, really.
Sam, come on then, tell me what your plan is with him, because are you going to bench him in the hope that he's only out for a couple of weeks, or do you think there's better replacements and that we should just get rid for now and then wait and see and bring him back as and when we need to?
For me, I was really struggling with what to do with Rashford, and Ten Hag's comments weren't that helpful, because what does the run-in actually mean? Does the run-in... Well, so did I. So I thought the run-in, as far as I'm concerned, the run-in's already started. We are in the run-in to the end of the season. But does the run-in actually mean the last four games, the last five games? That kind of ambiguity makes it difficult for us as FPL managers. He said he'd be out for a few matches. Now, a few matches, of course, could just mean game week 31 plus the FA Cup plus the Europa League. That's a few, isn't it? That's three. I think there are some really, really good options in the midfield at the moment. And, you know, I bought in Jack Grealish last week as part of my wild card. If you don't have him and you do have a free hit, you know, he could be a nice option, because there are so many great midfield picks right now. And with game week 32 in mind, like if you don't have your free hit, like Rich and Jules, then I think potentially selling Rashford is something that you might do, because we don't know for definite when he'll be back. And are you going to want to bench a player that we can save him for 34, knowing he might not make it? I think that's kind of where the quandary lies for most managers. I think I'm going to sell Rashford this week.
Okay, on that bombshell, you've mentioned there a couple of the replacements. You mentioned Grealish. Who are you going to bring in for him? Because I think that's the next part of this conversation, isn't it? If managers are to sell him, who are the best people to bring in for him?
So I think Grealish is absolutely up there. And I think, you know, if you've got additional money, then you could absolutely go up to KDB. But I think for me, at the price point that Grealish is, basically half KDB's value, he is the standout pick for me at Man City in that midfield. I have one major regret from my wild card, and that's selling Gabriel Martinelli. I did it because Arsenal didn't have any doubles and I wanted to drop down to allow me to have Gabriel Jesus a little bit later on in the season, freeing up that spot basically. And I kept Saka instead of Martinelli because I felt like Saka was more likely to avoid rotation with Trossard for that slot. As it's gone, I immediately, as soon as the deadline passed, regretted the decision to sell Martinelli, and I would really like him back in. So he is a player that potentially could come back in replacement for Marcus Rashford. And if you don't have a free hit, then the Crystal Palace midfielders, bizarrely, suddenly look like great options.
Yeah, Michael Olise in particular, three assists against Leeds, and their fixtures aren't too bad either, are they, Sam?
No, really, great, really nice fixtures. Mm. If you don't have a free hit, then I think they are exactly the sort of team you want to be targeting right now, because great fixtures, finding their form. They need another couple of wins to be absolutely sure that they're going to survive in the league, but it's looking more and more likely every week. And with the fixtures they have, they look like they might get them quickly. So I think for me, as a Elise, one of those guys looks like a really nice pick right now. If you're not free hitting, if you are free hitting, maybe you don't want to target them. Maybe you want to go with Man City because you can bring them in for the blank in 32 anyway as part of your free hit.
Jules, talking about Manchester City, I know you waxed lyrical about Grealish last week and he backed it up with his performance, but is there any merit in looking at one of your other boys, Riyad Mahrez, at the moment, given the fact that Phil Foden's injured as well?
I think it's more because there's the Champions League second leg against Bayern and City already have, you know, one foot and four toes in the quarterfinal, in the semi-final, let's be honest. So I think there's less risk of a Pep roulette this weekend, also because they've got Leicester at home, that they would be maybe had the first leg between City and Bayern was 1-1 or City just won 1-0, for example. With a 3-0 lead going to Germany next week, I think Pep can maybe rotate less than what he would have done. I don't know. So I think you could see Mahrez coming back in the team and Bernardo Silva having a rest because you know that Silva is going to play against Bayern next week. And I think Mahrez then becomes a great shout, of course. But again, there's a big if, that if he starts. I think Grealish won't be rested for the game against Leicester, might just play an hour. I think Haaland will play now. Again, he might have been rested if the tie with Bayern was a bit more even. But now he can play an hour and then still play in Munich next week as well. So I think we've got less of a risk of Pep roulette now after that win. But yeah, Mahrez could be in contention if you free hit and you can bring him in.
A word too, Jules, on Gabriel Martinelli, because Sam mentioned it there. I'm going to play my wild card this week, I think. Now, I didn't do it. I resisted last week in the end. And like Sam, I was going to get rid of Bukayo Saka. Again, I benched Gabriel Martinelli. I think that's 2 weeks in a row now, 13 points on my bench this week. Mm. Is Martinelli now the must-have Arsenal midfielder?
He's the most informed, for sure. I mean, we've said it all through the season that you can't really tell because they have all been great at some point and you can even add Odegaard to it, to be honest. But it's just that it feels like the Trossard signing and everything that Trossard brought on the pitch for Arsenal was great, but he also gave that boost to Martinelli to say, you went through a bit of a dip, to be fair, which is true. And now I think that like we see in many transfers, when competition arrives in your squad and suddenly you're not sure if you're going to start, then that brings the best in you, really. And I think that's what happened with Martinelli. But the performance that he had at Liverpool, certainly in the first half, was pretty outstanding. And it goes back to the one he had the game before and et cetera. He's the most informed of them all. But nobody can say that against West Ham this weekend on Sunday. Saka is going to have a great game and Martinelli maybe a bit more quiet, or Gabriel or the other one. That's the beauty of this Arsenal side.
Yeah, you could do what Rich has done and just keep them both. I notice you've had both the Arsenal midfielders, Rich, and I imagine that's been pretty fruitful for you.
Yeah, I had Odegaard and Martinelli and they were doing really well. And I don't know why, I just sort of like just tinkered with some things and brought Saka back, but they've been great. I mean, that literally most of the points I've got at any time have been through having those Arsenal players in there and having those Newcastle guys in defence, because they've also had a really mean, stingy defence, haven't they? And that's done really well for me. You know, I'm just hoping that Saka starts to start banging some goals in. That would be handy if I'm going to hang on to him.
I also noticed that your transfer last week was Mitoma from Brighton. Yeah. Why did you go for him over other Brighton midfielders? Because that's a debate we seem to have on this pod every single week. Who's the one we all want?
You know, I generally base my opinions on other teams when I've watched them play Brentford. And he was just terrific against us when we played them a couple of weeks ago. I mean, they kind of battered us, really. I mean, we were quite clinical and got the draw, but he was terrific. And I just thought he was kind of an interesting player to put in there. So I thought, well, let's bring him in. And obviously, he didn't really do much last week. But that was the story of my old team, really. But I just thought he just looked, you know, I just kind of look at a guy, I just saw him and I thought he looks really great. Let's bring him in and see what happens. He just looked sort of unstoppable.
Sam, he could have maybe had a few more points had things gone a little bit differently at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. Would you still encourage the Brighton midfield double up? So if someone is selling Rashford, do you think still having two Brighton midfielders is a very viable plan?
100%. I mean, I think you have to be mindful again if you are not free hitting in 32, because obviously they don't have the fixture. But after that, Brighton, I mean, they don't have the easiest run in, to be clear. The fixtures are mixed. But they are in the best one. They're one of the best form teams right now. The way that they are playing, they've got such confidence. They were incredibly unlucky not to take all 3 points from the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium at the weekend. And that's coming from me. But they, when you look at them going forward, you have already got the double set for game week 34. So you know you're getting a double game week out of them then. And we know they still have two more fixtures to be rearranged. So you're going to get three doubles out of these Brighton assets. And therefore, having invested in them, you are giving yourself the opportunity to really maximise their potential returns. Because if you're talking about the likes of McAllister, Matoma and March, they don't get rotated. They play every week. And Brighton are still in the hunt for European football next season. So these are exactly the sort of players that we want to be invested in. So yes, absolutely. I think free hit 32, it's absolute no-brainer to have at least two Brighton midfielders. If you don't have your free hit for 32, I still think you want to double up on the Brighton midfield and you just bench them for that blank game week.
Okay, well, there's a few options there if you are free hitting or if you aren't for replacements for Marcus Rashford. But another Manchester United player with an injury is, of course, Luke Shaw. He missed game week 30 with that hamstring problem. Ten Hag is saying he should be ready at short notice, which seems slightly better than Rashford, but still pretty vague. Come on then, translate this one for us, Jules.
Yeah, that's a tricky one. I don't think it would be this weekend. And again, then there's the blank weekend, which is great. Again, in the same way as for Rashford, because it's give you more time to rest, more time to get ready. And I could see Shaw being back for the Spurs away fixture that we mentioned earlier, that midweek game fixture.
Why do you want them all back for the Spurs game, Jules? Come on.
It's the perfect game for them, you know, slow tempo. It's easy, no press, nothing from the opposition. I'm kidding, Sam. But yeah, I think if you had 10 days, it would be ready to go. So I don't think it would be there this weekend, but surely for the away Spurs fixture.
So do we just keep him on our bench, Sam? What do we do?
We can't keep everybody on the bench. I mean, just Sam just said,
this is the problem,
two Brighton players on the bench, Shaw on the bench, Rashford on the bench, Haaland on the bench. I mean Rich has a big bench, but like still.
Sorry, I should clarify. I guess I'm coming from the angle of knowing that I'm playing a free hit in 32.
Kelly, you should keep Luke Shaw because you're playing a free hit in 32. So yeah, if you've got him, you should keep him because the chances are he is going to be back and available for game week 34's double, which is when you really want them. Jules, if you had him, you should sell him because you don't know for definite when he's going to be back.
Yeah.
And so I would expect that Manchester United will not clean sheet against Spurs in 33 because Harry Kane is Harry Kane. And even if we're playing badly, I'll back him to put something in the back of the net. So I think if you don't have a free hit, you sell Luke Shaw because you don't want to waste one of those bench slots on a player that may not be available for 34. And I think that's key. You need to make sure that the players you bench in 32, if you're not free hitting, are the players that you know, as far as we can, barring an injury in 33, are going to be available for the game week in 34, because that's why you're holding them. And with Luke Shaw, we don't know that for definite. With Marcus Rashford, we don't know that for definite. We think that they'll both be available, but we don't know. And if you don't know, then you use your bench slots to protect the ones that you do know, Haaland, the Brighton guys, those sorts of players.
Rich, I'm looking at your team and your bench, and you've got some serious surgery to do to it. You've got a bench of Mitrovic, Saliba and Shaw. You've got two injured players and one suspended player. And of course, De Gea, who's not.
It's a nightmare.
You're going to sell Shaw, aren't you?
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where I've had to sort of like, you know, fiddle around with formations to try and sort of accommodate the fact that I've only got three fit defenders and that kind of stuff. So I can only really put out one team. And Sharda, he had a good game against Newcastle, but will he start? I don't know. So it's kind of like, he might come on. Sometimes he comes on for 10 minutes at the end, you know. So I might be tempted to switch him out and leave it as it is. I don't want to incur too many penalty points on doing, you know, over the too many transfers, because in that league I play in, it's quite tight. But yeah, I've got to do something. <'Cause I'm> just, literally, it's kind of like, well, that's, you know, there's one, you know, and I can like sort of literally tinker at the edges, and it's the injury list is like is impossible.
Shaw and Saliba feel like the ones to sell there, Rich, because, you know, both injured, both with unknown return dates. So they feel like the two you'd get rid of. You'd maybe, you look at the teams that have got nice fixtures in game week 32. So if you don't have an Arsenal defender, maybe replace Saliba with with one of them, maybe one of the Palace defenders because they've got a nice fixture too. Right, you just kind of try and get around that way because then you can move your Brighton players to the bench and that kind of thing, protect them for the doubles that have coming up.
Yeah,
there you go.
Write that down. Yeah, perfect.
A bit of advice. Jot that down to sort out your team after. Sam, just quickly from Luke Shaw, a lot of the managers that sold him last week did go to Diogo Dalo, who didn't start. That kind of adds another headache in, doesn't it? Because you think, if you want Manchester United cover, it feels obvious to go for his replacement. When his replacement doesn't start, it feels like it's a world of pain.
I came so close to putting Dalo in my team within the last sort of 20 minutes of my wildcard being active. And I just, in the end, couldn't bring myself to sell Gabriel from Arsenal because he has been so good for me. And I was like, if I want a Manchester United defender, I want it to be Luke Shaw because we get the attacking threat from him and we get the security of starts. Without Luke Shaw and Casemiro, who was still suspended, I was a bit like, I don't really know how I feel about investing in the Manchester United defenders because they feel like a rotation risk, the Dalot, Wan-Bissaka thing. Just is too difficult to kind of navigate. So for me, I just decided to stay clear of it altogether. I think if you do want to invest in Manchester United defensively because, you know, you're free hitting in 32, then probably Malacia, Martinez, they probably feel like the ones that you would go towards. Mm-hmm. But for me, I'm just going to wait until Luke Shaw is back and available before I invest. Unless, of course, you want to go for De Gea because you know you're going to get a start with him.
There you go, Rich. You've got him.
Perfect.
There you go. But then you have to bench a Brentford player.
Yeah, and then maybe that'd be a good thing.
But that's okay for 32 because you can play Raya.
Yeah.
Jules, there's been a longer-term injury that we've already mentioned, actually, because he's on Rich's bench. Your boy, William Saliba. Remarkably, Rich is part of over 20% of managers that still own him. He hasn't played in the last three matches. Why aren't managers selling him?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, that's what we advised, didn't we? Rich didn't listen to that show because he would have got rid. But yeah, we said that, again, it's to go back to what Sam was saying. If you're not sure when a player is back, or if the manager hasn't given you a timeline, a proper timeline, or at least an idea, just don't. I mean, you can keep on your bench, of course, but you still waste a slot of someone who could come into your team and bring you points, which is not Saliba's case right now. So if you don't know, if you're not sure when a player is coming back or how long the injury is, as much as you might love him or he's one of your club's player, just don't take the risk and sell him. And you can always bring him back later. Yeah, it might cost you a little bit more because of the price that he would be at. But usually those players who have a long-term injury, their value drops as well. So for Saliba, that's the thing. We don't know yet when he's going to come back. So I think a bit of a waste to keep him in your squads because we've got that uncertainty.
I mean, I haven't been hanging on to him for any kind of emotional reason. It's just like, I feel like I've been fighting fires every week.
Yeah.
You know, and it seems to be in other positions that need to be addressed, you know, so it was kind of, he just kind of got left there to sort of fester on the bench.
The problem is that now these players that we have left to kind of fester on the bench potentially cause some damage in 32, depending upon chip strategy. You need those players to be playing in 32, and when they're not, that's going to be the moment where you're going to need to get rid.
Okay, moving on to another player who's an interesting one, and probably in the 12, 24 hours before this podcast recording, his prospects of featuring in 31 have changed a little bit. Ben Chilwell was benched in 30, probably to protect him for the Champions League. But then, of course, he got an early bath. He was sent off. That's probably a bit of a relief for us FPL managers, though, isn't it, Sam, now, in a weird way?
Yeah, absolutely.
I feel bad saying that because obviously he got sent off. And I know that was really frustrating for the Chelsea fans. And he obviously misses the second leg.
Yeah.
But from an owner of his in FPL, I was looking at that going, well, at least he's probably going to play.
Yeah, I was 100% because I bought into Chilwell on my wild card only to find him left on the bench by Frank. And I was like, are you joking? What is that about? And he made a lot of changes, didn't he, in preparation for the Champions League, you know, resting Kante and resting Ben Chilwell in that one. Now, Chilwell did come on. Of course, he came on, got booked and got 0 points, which is even more frustrating as us as FPL managers. But I must admit, I was watching the Champions League match last night, and when he got sent off, I couldn't help but think, all right, well, at least you're going to start now in game week 31 because you don't need to be protected ahead of the next fixture. So yeah, I think for us as FPL managers, don't panic on Ben Chilwell now. He's going to play, I would have thought, in 31.
The problem is not so much that he's going to play, is that they're not very good again. And like,
even defensively?
I mean, yeah, even defensively.
Well, they just let Wolves score.
Yeah.
And did I you just, see the goal?
It's a great goal, by the way.
It was a great goal.
I think, Nunes is a great player. And we'll go to a bigger club. So for a long time, we said, yeah, James, good, Chilwell. We can even look at Fofana if we want. Sam had her best mate, Badia Shil, or
not
whatever
anymore,
she
George,
says
not
it.
Anymore.
No, not anymore, I know. But for a long time, Kepa in goal. But now they look shambolic again, like they did for, to be fair, most of the season. So I've got Chilwell. I will keep him, of course. I don't really have any other options. And he will start, you're right, this weekend against Brighton, which is a tough game. And you could easily see Brighton just destroying them. So yeah, it's tricky.
Jules, interesting one for you though, because obviously he doesn't play in 32. Will you put him on your bench for 32 and try and keep him for the double? Or will you just think, well, Chelsea defensively haven't been great, so I'm just going to ship him out?
No, I've asked the Premier League to have special dispensation to have five players on my bench to listen to all your advice this week. I don't know what to do. I've got too many to get rid of. So I will take a -4 and use two transfers between now and game week 32 and see what happens with Chilwell.
You've got to bear in mind, obviously, that they're playing Brentford in a couple of weeks, so they won't stand a chance.
That's very true. But it's at Stamford Bridge, so, you know.
I think we beat them 4-1 there last season, didn't we?
You did indeed. That's right.
I like that a lot. Let's now turn the chat towards the two different FPL managers out there. As we've been talking about, it's very much split this week. Those who do and those who don't have a free hit ready for 32 as targets will undoubtedly be different. Sam, I'm taking a look at the transfers in. Do they tell us something about the different strategies depending on whether they're going to free hit or not?
Yeah, I think the top 10 most transferred in players this week, in a nutshell, show you how different FPL managers are thinking. So we've got five of them from teams that don't feature in game week 32. And we've got five of them from teams that do feature in game week 32. And they're pretty much from the same team. So we've got Grealish and we've got Haaland in there from Manchester City, as you'd expect. And then we've got players that have been in good form, the likes of Matoma, who managers are going to want to keep. We've also got in there Martinez from Manchester United. I think people, you know, wanting to replace Shaw maybe, or maybe looking to replace somebody like Saliba. So we've got players like that in there. And they're clearly the ones that are being targeted by the managers that have got their free hit in game week 32, or managers that haven't realised that there's a blank in 32 and then they'll later panic that they've bought in these players. And then we've got the other half, which is a lot of Arsenal. So we've got players like Martinelli, Ben White, Gabriel Jesus coming in, who feature in game week 32, but don't have the doubles coming up in the future. Same with Tyrone Mings, features in game week 32, and Fabian Schär features in 32. So we've got coverage of both sides of the argument here. We've got teams that are blanking in 32 that are being heavily invested in, and teams that aren't blanking that are being heavily invested in. And you can see the way that managers are thinking just by looking at that.
Oh yeah, that was me. I'll be the one be panicking in week 32 when I realised.
There's a lot of us.
Yeah. Jules would be in the same boat.
Yeah, don't worry.
He'd be panicking in our WhatsApp chat at
some point.
I've got
my spreadsheet that I used, you know, all season, as you know, for planning. You should try that, Rich, next season, the spreadsheet.
I tell you what I did. I did try I even, just before I came on here, I thought, I wonder if you can do the old chat AI thing and say, pick me some players.
And what happened?
Every time I've looked at that thing, it does the same thing. It tells you something you already know. So it says, I couldn't possibly pick specific players, but you want to look at their form and what fixtures they've got coming up. I was like, well, thanks. Thanks for nothing.
Jules, talking about that, you mentioned before taking a -4. Who are the players you're targeting to get you through game week 32? Because maybe we've gone a bit heavy so far on discussing teams that don't play in 32 because myself and Sam do have the free hit.
So right now, I still have Kepa and Steele, who neither of them, obviously, they were both blank. So I need a keeper. I've got Chilwell, who will blank. I've got Mitoma, who will blank. And then Shaw, Rashford and Haaland. So with a bench of four, I can keep one of the two keepers, of course. I would keep Haaland. I would keep Mitoma on the bench, which only leaves me with one spot left on the bench, and I need to get rid of the others. I will have the two transfers between now and obviously the blank game week. So I think someone like Olise, like a Newcastle defender, would be a good shout. Aston Villa, we mentioned. I mean, they go to Newcastle this weekend, so maybe bring an Aston Villa defender for the following game week. But that's the thing. I brought in Harrison because I could not bring Grealish, because that would have been another player to get rid of for the blank game week. And Harrison had been on great form since we highlighted him 3 weeks ago. And obviously, they get smashed by Crystal Palace. He does nothing. And I'm here like saying, typical FPL weekend for you. But yeah, I will have to do those two free transfers and then see if I go for minus four or not.
What are your feelings on, I mean, it's a roll of the dice, right? But Liverpool, I can't keep thinking that they can't just keep being woeful.
And they've got decent fixtures as well.
Yeah, they've got some sort of what you might say easier games, but obviously you could also put those teams are fighting for their lives, so maybe not that easy. So Hotsa last season, when I was with Liverpool, were a very different team last season for me, but he was brilliant. He was so reliable. He would always deliver something. I keep thinking any minute now he'll start scoring and assisting. And, you know, you just don't know. If you get the second half against Arsenal, Liverpool, then maybe. But I don't know. What do you think?
I think Liverpool are really tough. They're just really difficult to navigate because you never really know what Liverpool side you're going to get. They're so Jekyll and Hyde at the moment. And we saw that against Arsenal. That match was Liverpool in a nutshell. First half an hour, awful. Arsenal were so superior to them. It was untrue. Second half, Liverpool played incredibly well and were like the Liverpool that we would normally want to invest in. And Liverpool for FPL managers should be a bit of a gift. They play in 32 and they double in 34. So they should be the perfect team for us to invest in. But with the exception of Mo Salah, I'm struggling. So if you've got the budget and you can get from Marcus Rashford to Mo Salah, makes a lot of sense. If you can't get that far with your budget, it's really hard to invest in Liverpool because there's so much rotation. We don't know whether Darwin's going to get the start, whether Jota's going to get the start. We know Firmino's not probably going to get the start, but he's going to come on towards the back end of the game and take minutes away from somebody. We don't know whether Gakpo's going to start. There's just so much potential risk. Couple that with the fact that imminently Luis Diaz is due back from his injury. Now, he would be the one that I would trust to invest in, because if we think back earlier on in the season, he was fantastic for us as FPL managers. But I suspect Klopp might be mindful of the fact that he's been out for quite a long time and ease him back into games with sort of 20 minutes here, 20 minutes there. And that's not what we want across a double game week. We want to maximise potential minutes, not get somebody that might play, say, half of a game. And that's, I think, the problem with Liverpool. Unless you want to go for Trent Alexander-Arnold or Robertson, if you want to go for a defender, then I think you can absolutely do that. Outside of the defence, I think you've got to look at Salah and then you've got to try and find some budget.
Sam, I'm on my wild card trying to squeeze funds at the moment to be able to do Rashford to Salah. Am I crazy?
No, I don't think it's crazy. I think it's hard because I looked last week at, could I create a wildcard team that still had everything that I wanted in it with Salah? And by everything I want, that means basically I wanted to keep Haaland and Kane and leave some money in the bank. So I could change Ollie Watkins to Gabriel Jesus. So I needed a bit of money there. And that made it almost impossible to put Mo Salah in there without massively compromising everything else, because I still wanted to be invested in triple Manchester City and I still wanted to be invested in, you know, some of the more premium assets from other clubs. But if you can find the scope to have those players that are your non-negotiables, the likes of Haaland and whoever else it is for you, Kelly, that's a non-negotiable, and you can fit Salah in, then I would absolutely do it.
Okay, I'm going to try and do it, but it does potentially, I'll have to get rid of Harry Kane, and I know exactly how that will go down on this podcast. So
that's why I didn't do it, because I couldn't bring myself to take out Harry Kane.
Yeah, but you for emotional reasons.
Well, emotional reasons, yes, Jules, but also form, right?
He does just score every week.
He's just reliable. And with Salah in Liverpool, you don't have that reliability, that's my issue.
But we said Salah scores in big games, which he did now, City and Arsenal.
But as Rich points out, the games that they have coming up aren't necessarily the ones that you would classify as big games,
with the
exception of the Spurs game, which is part of their double game week in 34. Yeah. That, in this house, is a big game.
Yes.
That's what's jumping out at me. And that double in 34, if it wasn't for the double in 34, I probably wouldn't be considering it. But obviously, I'm looking to build a team with lots of doublers in 34, and he's one of the standout picks for that game week. But as we know, a wild card is for a longer period than just one game week.
The other thing, Kelly, is that you're unlikely to captain Salah in 34 because you're going to probably captain Haaland. So you then have that conversation about, well, do I then want to flood my team with premiums? Would I be better to have a wider scope of doubling players from, you know, the teams like Brighton and Manchester United, who are arguably in better form than Liverpool instead?
Yeah, that's the problem. The form just isn't there for Liverpool. Although watching that game at Arsenal, which by the way was a brilliant game, how Mo Salah didn't get more points than he did was, it just felt incredible, didn't it?
Yeah, I did
actually feel for some people that had invested in him. When you've invested that much money to watch some of those misses, particularly that penalty, must have been really tough.
Well, I wonder if he'll even stay on penalties now. That's three out of six penalties this season missed. The last two in a row. I wonder whether there's a conversation to be had now at Liverpool about whether Salah is still on penalties. And that is one of the reasons why we pay the extra for him. That's why we pay the extra for Kane, because they have that extra route to points. If Salah doesn't have that, does that make him less attractive to us in FPL? Probably yes.
That kind of also plays into my thinking with selling Bukayo Saka as well now, Jules, because is Gabriel Jesus now Arsenal's penalty taker?
It's a good question. I mean, I don't see why Saka should not be, but the return of Gabriel Jesus, of course, makes it uncertain. And until we ask Mikel Arteta the question and he gives the order, if he does, or there's a penalty next and we see exactly what happens, if there's even a discussion, or if Gabriel Jesus takes the pen and takes it, then you know he's the number one. If Saka does it, you know he's the number one. But yeah, it does, unless it's something very clear and obvious, like Ivan Toney, for example, or Harry Kane, or even Erling Haaland now, clearly at City, then you're just never sure.
I could do with Mikel Arteta confirming to me, not to me, to everyone,
tell me,
that Gabriel Jesus is now the penalty taker, because then I can sell Saka, and then I can keep Gabriel Martinelli. He's a little bit cheaper, of course. I can have Jesus over Kane, because at least I know he's got the penalties, and then the extra money can go to Mo Salah, and then I need Klopp to confirm that Salah is on penalties. So I need quite a lot of things to fall into place.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do, yeah.
Earlier on in the season, we did see Saka take a penalty when Jesus was on the pitch. So I would assume that normal service resumes unless we are told specifically otherwise.
We're at that point in the season, though, where I just feel like anything can happen. You can see
anything
other players.
Anything can happen, yeah.
So yeah, I think all of that happening is...
I'm waiting for my Edison penalty.
Unlikely.
That's overdue.
How long have we been waiting for that, though, Sam? We've been waiting for that for about 2 years.
Yeah.
A couple of years. Okay, let's wrap things up then by talking transfers and captains. Jules, sounds like you've got a busy few days, few weeks.
Jules is taking an 8-point hit.
Shush. I mean... I was tempted to just roll on the transfer to have the two transfers for next week and see who does well between now and then, the fitness, etc., the injuries, all of that. So I might not do anything. I might bring a Newcastle defender as early as this weekend, or Olise, or someone from Crystal Palace, as we mentioned, or someone from Liverpool too. I don't know yet. I know that Haaland is going to be captain, but for now, that's pretty much it.
Okay, as per usual, still not decided. And especially with all of those decisions, you definitely won't have decided by 9 o'clock on Thursday morning. Rich, what about you? What are your plans to rescue this bench in this season?
I don't know. I mean, I was looking earlier, really, like thinking about, you know, like trying to bring Grealish in, like everyone else has spoken about. But every time, you know, Man City are just so frustrating. You know, I'll bring him in and he'll, you know, like we were talking about it earlier, something will happen and he won't play or he'll rest.
Rich, you've got to remember 32 as well. He's not going to play in 32.
Exactly. So I don't know. I mean, like you say, either switch out a defender and bring someone in there, or switch out Sharder and bring someone into the midfield and just fix that up. But I tell you, I did see, again, just from watching them the other week, is it Isaac Newcastle?
Isak,
yeah. he was really good.
The problem you've got, though, is that he doesn't get regular starts. It's between him and Callum Wilson.
But also, obviously, again, having the Brentford emotional attachment, Ollie Watkins has been has been banging them in, hasn't he? So yeah, I don't know is the answer to that one. I mean, obviously Tony will be my captain as always, or I might just leave it this week and, like you say, save up the two transfers and then try and fix, you know, in that game week 32 and have a bit more room to play with there.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Sam, what about you? What are your plans?
Don't know yet. It's a difficult one because I have to make a transfer because I'm free hitting next week. So if I don't make a transfer, I'm basically burning it and I don't want to do that. I really like my team if I put Rashford on the bench because it means I can flood my midfield with my Brighton assets. I'm giving myself a massive, massive benching headache, regardless of what transfer I make. I think I will end up doing Rashford out and I'll probably look to reinvest in Martinelli, but I might just take a look at the double game weekers for 34 and just try and pick one of them because obviously I don't need somebody who will play in 32 next week. So Rashford out probably, but where I'll go, I'm yet to decide.
What about your captain then, Sam?
I think it's got to be Haaland, hasn't it? Game against Leicester, even with Dean Smith now in charge at Leicester, a bit of new manager bounce. I think you have to go with Haaland. He's just in such great form. Grealish is a good differential if you want to go for a differential at Man City, but I think Haaland.
Just a quick word on that. I can't believe we've got the whole way through the podcast. It feels like there's been so many managerial changes recently that we're talking about them every week. We haven't actually touched upon the fact that Dean Smith is the replacement for Brendan Rodgers at Leicester. Are you expecting any upturn there, Sam?
Well, I mean, we should get some, shouldn't we? Is the reality. Most clubs do bounce. I worry a little bit about Leicester because James Maddison's interview after the game at the weekend, he looked very low and he's their captain and their talisman and the most important player in their team. So Dean Smith's going to come and need to re-energise Leicester. And I think that's going to be key because if he can get some energy and some grit installed in them this week, then maybe they'll have some fight. But my suspicion with Dean Smith is that he won't be looking at this game against Manchester City thinking that's a game that we've got to go and win. He'll be looking at the games that follow thinking, right, well, let's start working on the things I want the team to do now, knowing then for 32, 33 and onwards, we're in a place where we've kind of consistently worked on something for a couple of weeks. So yes, some bounce, but maybe not against Man City.
Rich, you must have fond memories of Dean Smith.
Apparently a friend of mine is a good lad and an indie fan as well. He likes his, his indie music. So
playing it in the dressing room.
Yeah. Good days. It feels pretty brutal though to be, you know, your first game back is against City and the form they're hard. In. It's sort of like...
Particularly to have to go away to Man City. It's not
their
home
season
game.
Isn't going to be defined by this weekend. Maybe when we get our first glimpse of Dean Smith's Leicester City this weekend, maybe we can have a chat about them next weekend. Maybe there'll be some upturn for James Maddison, maybe Harvey Barnes as well. If he has got over that minor hamstring injury, he's had some good numbers, 10 goals and 2 assists this season. So maybe we'll be talking about him next week, but not this week. I'm going to leave it there for today. Rich, give us an update on what you've got coming up then, band-wise.
Hardfire have kind of come back together after a little bit of a hiatus that ended up lasting about 8 years. we're playing at the Victorious Festival this summer, which we're looking forward to. And then exclusive announcement: we're doing a UK tour in October, which we're really excited about, and we'll be sort of announcing more details about that next month. Kind of keep your diary free. In October.
Yeah.
So that's going to be great. I can't wait for that.
Yeah, big breaking news on the FPL pod. Not the kind of breaking news that we're used to on here. So that's very exciting. Thank you so much for coming on. Did we maybe inspire you to sort your team out? Are you going to have a big push for this final season running? I'm sorry, Ten Hag. I count this as a season running.
yeah, definitely. I think, you know, it's quite interesting because I never really think that far ahead, but it obviously makes it makes sense to do that. Yeah, I'm definitely going to have a look at that. My only worry is then I'm going to get obsessed and start getting far too into it.
Welcome to the club.
That's not a problem.
Sam's made a career out of it, honestly. Yeah. It can be your second, yeah. Just a warning that if you do become obsessed, you lose all sense of priority and everything. So the best of luck with that.
It doesn't help, you know, like, so my son gets hold of my phone and we'll just fiddle with it and play my bench boost and things like that. You know, that's sort of...
Oh, don't blame him.
You need to get him his own team, Rich, yeah, and then he won't do that.
I know.
Mm. That's the final thing that he's going to drop on this podcast. It's actually all his son's fault, his poor son that isn't here to defend himself. Well,
unless we do well, in which case it's all me.
Yeah, of course, of course. Well, a reminder for you, Rich, Sam, Jules and everyone else, the deadline is Saturday at 11 a.m. ahead of the early game. The very best of luck. Rich, best of luck with the rest of the season and with your tour. Thank you for coming
on.
Thank
you very much.
And we will, of course, be back with another FPL pod next Thursday. Best of luck. Bye-bye.